We'll make up time in the air. Here we go. All right, so Lamed Hey Amud Beis. So Ibailahu or Lamanda Ikalamanda Amar? Ibailahu. Okay, perfect. Okay, so Ibailahu. Sarah Lafardis and Nether, oh Ain Sarah Lafardis. So when a person is made for a nether, that's the question, and it's the context of the wife's ability to be made for her nether that she's taking a nether in order to prove her right to collect from her ksuba against the asumim. So when a person takes a nether in general, do they need to be mefari, do they need to specify the details surrounding the context that would allow them to undo the nether, explain why that's the case, or do they not need to explain that? They ask for hafara that the chacham would give it to them even without the details. So if Nachman Amar, between Nachman and Papa, so it's going to explain. Rav Nachman Amar Eino Tzarech Di Amar Tzarech Zimlin Gayezlei LeDiburis. Rav Nachman says you don't need to do this because if you require everybody who wants to have hafara, we can think about ourselves at Hatar Sandarim. Every time we want hafara from an eder, so maybe we'll cut off, we'll forget, we'll skip some of the important, relevant words, factors that went into why we need the hafara, we'll just forget. V'chacham mai deshama meifar. And a chacham, as wise as he is only allowed to do hafara based on what he hears. So it could be, fundamentally, you have the right to this hafara, but because you leave out some of the details, you won't get it. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, you don't need to be mefarat the details because it's going to end up hurting you. Rav Papa Amar Tzarech, Rav Papa says, okay, too bad. You do need to specify the details. Mishu milsa di isur, because sometimes the nether, the context, will lead to an isur. So if you leave that part out and you aren't mefarat, then the Chacham is going to mistakenly give you a hafara when you shouldn't be getting one. So an example would be like this case. Like, let's say the woman, the wife, took a nether I'm not going to eat any food. All food is usher to me if I collected the ksuba already, which is her way of basically saying, I didn't collect the ksuba already, let me collect it. Because if I'm lying and I collected it, all food in the world is usher to me, which is ridiculous, it's absurd. So if she doesn't have to, now she gets married, and now she wants to do a hafara on that neder, or the husband, let's say, to do a hafara on that neder, so, or even without that, I guess even if she's not married, the chacham do hafara on that neder, if she doesn't need to explain the details in the context, she'll get the hafara, which is obviously wrong, and then it's going to let her incorrectly go and take the ksuba again. So basically, because the details are important, as we would expect. So that's a machlokas between the two of them. Tanan, there's the Mishnah, and this is going to be a kasha on Rav Nachman, who says you don't need to be mefarat the details of the nether. Hanosi nashim ba'avera pasul. So a kohen who marries a forbidden woman to him, such as a divorcee or a zona, who a kohen is not allowed to marry, so he's pasul to do the avoda. Famous to the Gemara Makos, his kids will be halalim. His kids will not be kohanim if he has children with them. He himself will not be a halal. He's mechalal ve'inu mischalal. His kids will be halalim, but he himself, even a kohen who marries a divorcee, he's always a kohen. Fundamentally. However, as long as he's married to her, he's pasul. He's not fundamentally not a kohen, but he's a pasul kohen. He can't do the avodah. Ad sheyidor hana, until he takes a neder against his wife that he won't get any hana, he won't be with her, sleep with her, nothing. And a kohen. In the end of the day, he's pasul for avodah. Is duchening avodah? I don't know. I don't know if duchening and getting the first aliyah and leading benching are avodahs. That's why he probably still could. But his kids would be halalim. He himself is still a kohen, and the only thing is he can't do avodah. I don't know if those are considered to be avodah. That's why I think probably fundamentally he could. So as far as the avodah, though, he's possible to do the avodah until he really has to divorce her, but the mission is giving him like a stage early. He takes another hana that I'm not going to be with my wife, and the assumption is he's going to go subsequently after the day's over and divorce her. All right, he could do the avodah the rest of that day. Achi yidor neder, has to take a neder against her. Vitani alam, there's a brace upon this mission which says, noder v'oved yored u'megarish. Basically, he spells it out. He takes a neder, okay, no more hana for my divorced wife, and he serves, he does the avodah, yored, he descends from the avodah, u'megarish, and he goes and divorces her. But in this moment where he's still married to her, as long as he took the nether that he's not going to get hana from her, then he could do the avoda as a kohen. Now kashan Rav Nachman, the iyamart ainot tzarich lafarit. So if you say a person, anytime they go to chacham, to be mefarit, to be made for their nether, annul their vow, they don't need to specify the details, the context of the origin, the genesis of the neder. So how could Rav Nachman go with this price? Obviously, the Kohen could just go to Chacham later and annul his nether. He doesn't have to specify the context. Oh, by the way, and he's going to get the annulment. And then how could we allow such a Kohen based on this nether to work if you don't need to specify the details? Okay. So basically a question like, if you don't need to specify the details, people are going to get away with things. So the Gemara continues, Dimadrina le Rabbi. No, no, this Raisa, according to Rav Nachman, is a case where he took the nether in public. He took a nether Barabim. So as we saw earlier, one who takes a nether Barabim in front of 10 Jews, so it's a machlokas whether you could ever, even with the right details, be made for such a nether or not. So, Hani Flamanta Amar, nether Shuhu the Rabbim, Ain Lafar. I get it. The opinion who says that if I take a nether in public, I can't get Afar. So for Rav Nachman, that's this Kohen. I don't care if he leaves out the details, but he won't get hafara because he took this nether barabim. El amanta amar yeshul hafara. But now for the one who says you could be made for such a nether, my equal meimar, what's Rav Nachman going to say? This Kohen can go and be made for his nether because he doesn't need the details. So he'll get the hafara. And it doesn't matter that he did it in public. So how can we let him do the avoda in this context based on this very weak nether? So no, the answer is dimadrina le aldas rabim, a different concept. Not just that he did it in public, but it was aldas rabim. He did it with the approval and basically almost like gave the koach to the rabim. In this case, the rabim refers to the chachamim, the rabbanim who he specifically did it in front of certain rabbanim, and he did it on their das. So it's basically their nether to control now. And only they can undo it. So even though you don't need to be mafarid, according to Rav Nachman, this nether will never become undone because it's done al das rabim, and the rabim understand the context, and they won't be made for it. Okay, that's Rav Nachman in the sense of Braisa. The madrina le al das rabim. The Amar, Amemar says, Hilchas afilu manta amar nether shuhu debarabim yesh lafari. Even the ones who say, if I swear publicly, take a nether publicly, I can be made for it. Al das rabim yesh lafari. But if I do it al das rabim, which is that higher level, then I can't get hafara for it. Okay. Vahani mili davar shus, obviously another qualification. That's saying I can't get hafara if I swear al das rabim, take another al das rabim, if I want to undo it just to, eat apples again or whatever davar shus I took a nether against. Aval, the davar mitzvah, but if my nether prevents me from doing a mitzvah, a wine or whatever, now I can't do grape juice, which is whatever. So irmata, yesh lo hafara. And then even if I did it barabim, even if I did it al das rabim, I will be able to make for it in order to do a mitzvah. Kiahu mikri dardiki, like the teacher, the adre Rav Acha al das rabim, that Rav Acha took a nether against him al das rabim, basically that he wasn't allowed to teach children again. Dahava pasha biyinuke, because he was very negligent with them. He was hitting them. He was hurting them too much. So the Ahadre Ravina, and then so even though that was an nether al das rabim taken against him, Ravina put him back in. He made for the nether. Why or how I should say the lowish stakach daya kavase, because no one was as precise as him. They couldn't find a replacement that was as good as him. Basically, and that's a mitzvah chinuch. So even though it's al das rabim, they were able to be made for that nether. Okay, so Adkan that sarach lafarda in sarach lafarda shach levitaria. So the Mishnah says that Eidim have to sign on the get. This is enacted for the betterment of society. Gemara asks, what do you mean because of Tikkun HaOlam? That's why Eidim have to sign on the get. This is the Din D'oraisa, the Chsiv. Ironically, even though I assume you got into this already, Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, but it's pulling it to Oraisa, but leaving that aside, the Pasuk is V'chasa B'Seber V'chasom, that you will write into these documents. So sign on these documents, the sales before you go into exile. And you'll seal them, which is understood here as Edim should sign on the shtar. Again, calling it to Oraisim, that's coming from Navi. But what do you mean Tikkun HaOlam, like some later enactment that the Rabbanim came? Oh, this is a good idea. It's already in the Ksav that we have to sign Edim at the sign on the shtar. So I'm a Rabba, lo tzricha, lo tzricha, lo Rabbi Eliezer. No, this is Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Meir, whether Edim Chasima or Edim Ksiva Karsi. So this is according to Rabbi Eliezer, who understands in the sugya that Edim is Sira Karsi. Really, fundamentally, you only need witnesses to witness the giving over of the get. You don't actually need Edim to sign of the get. Even though there's this pasuk, all you need is the Edim present. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, then that's where the Mishnah means that you need that we decided because of Tikkun HaOlam to so also have Edim sign on the shtar. Damar Edim Mesira Karsis. So he holds Edim Mesira are the one that effectuate the gap. Takin Rabbanon Edim Chasimah Mivnei Tikkun HaOlam. So they even he'll hold that the Rabbanon decided to enact that you have to also sign on the gap because of Tikkun HaOlam to make the world function better. The Zimnan Demaisi Sadek, because sometimes the two witnesses who physically saw the get being handed over will die. And now that's all you have. She's not going to be able to prove that she's divorced. Inami zimnin da azim dina sayam. Or they went far away. They went to another country. And once again, you won't be able to get them. So they need to have mipnei tikkun haolam. They should sign on the get. Rav Yosef amar afilu tein l'Rabbi Meir. That was easy. Now it's a chiddush. Now even according to Rabbi Meir, holds fundamentally that you need edim chasima kar. See that the edim who sign on the get are the ones who are the ones that you need. So even he'll say, no, this is because of Tikkun HaOlam. How does that make sense? So I feel the Tim Mayer, Hiskinu Shihu Edim Mifarshin Shmosein Begitin. No, he added a level. The Tikkun HaOlam here is an added level. The Tikkun HaOlam is that they decided that Edim need to specify, write out their names on the get, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. So what does that mean? Whether they always had a sign of the get, but they never had to specify their name on the get. And that was only a later enactment. For the sake of Tikkun HaOlam. Kiditanya, as it says in the Braisa Barishona, Hayakosev Ani Ploni Chasamti Aid. So at first, the way that it would work is that they would just write I Ploni, and they, I think, would actually write Ploni. I Ploni signed as a witness, meaning even the opinion that held that the witnesses who were there needed to sign, it was more about them just witnessing the testimony and seeing, witnessing the event and seeing it. But just to point out that someone was there, they'll put down, oh yeah, I was there and I was there. To bolster the fact that someone actually was there seeing it, but not to actually be expected to be used as a proof practically, because they wouldn't actually write their names. So it was like a low level addition, the fact that they would write their names on the shtar. Posture. So now let's say we wanted to verify this get that me and Ari signed on. And it didn't say, you know, like we do in the ksuba now or get now, Yosef Mordechai Ben or Isaac Isaac, Mishpachas Weinberger aid. I just say, Ani Ploni Chasamti. And Ari would say, Ani Ploni Chasamti. And now they need to verify that this is a true get and it wasn't forged by two random witnesses or by the wife or the woman herself. Yeah. So they would need to go through every other document that they could possibly get their hands on that are in the archives of Basin and see if two handwritings match our handwriting of Ani Ploni Chasamti aid and then find us and like verify it. And it would have been very difficult. So im sabya the yotzim welcome acher kasher. If they were able to find our handwriting elsewhere and verify it, then the get would be kasher. But imlav puzzle, and if not puzzle, so obviously you can see why there is a need for Tikkun HaOlam to enhance the requirement of the chasima, not just to write a need aid ploni, but to actually write our names.
But it seems that the chasima is very sloppy. You can't tell a person.
Correct. That's what. Yeah, the chasima was more just as Rashi say. I want to see if Rashi. Says what even the purpose is. It seems like it was just to note the fact that people actually witnessed it, but not that there were Edim, but not to like use it as a method of verifying it. Does Rashi say Mefarshish Moseim Ruven Oshimo Meikara Lo Hayu Chosmin Ella Ani Pol Chasamti Lo Haya Nokev Shema. Right, Rashi doesn't explain why, but yeah, it was obviously a very it wasn't a helpful proof. Let me see who says here. The chasim akarsi.
I think that's
Rashi. 870. At the beginning, they were just right. Ani pony. It's right. I mean, they're explaining here. If the one who the star was being brought again wanted to prove that it was actually false testimony, he basically wouldn't be able to prove it unless they randomly found another one. So, what was the point?
The chasim originally would not be there.
Yeah,
it would just be I was here.
Yeah, I don't know. Like once you're doing it, why they wouldn't actually write their names? Because it doesn't seem like it's such a big tircha. But anyways, yes. All right. It was just to point out that somebody was there. But it was almost impossible to ever prove it had one wanted to prove that it was mizuyim. Again, if you went and got the edim, then you're good. But then essentially, it's like edim asir karsis.
it would seem.
Oh, correct. You would. Oh, no, no. Unless
comparing scruples.
Unless no, unless the owner of the shtar. But why would they want to do that? Oh yeah, the owner of the shtar to prove its veracity. But no, I remember it was Weinberg and Wartowski. Like, okay, go get them. Then Weinberg is stay with. Yeah, that's us. I still don't think it would be enough. Maybe that would be enough if we said that's us. But maybe then we'd even still need to get Ksav Yadam. So we say, oh, yeah, our testimony is in the New Milford Basin. Let's get it. And then they could actually help us track it down. And once they did track it down, I mean, it would make it easy if we actually got the Edom. But, yeah, it wasn't very helpful to be on, to just have the document itself. So Barishon Ayakosev and Yiponi Chasamti Eid, Im Ksav Yadam Yatsim Lokam Acher Kasher, Im Lav Pasel. So Amar Rama Gamliel, Takana Gedola Hiskinu. So this, Rabbi Gamliel says, this is a great takana that they changed. That now you need to actually write your name as an aide, sign your name. Because now that it says Yosef Weinberger and Aaron Wartowski, then we would still need to verify that it wasn't the woman who just wrote our names in, because she could do that too. But okay, now at least, you know, oh yeah, Wartowski and Weinberger, they signed in the New Milford case, you know, 3 months ago. Let's take that out of the archives. Let's line up their signatures. Oh, they match. It was much, much easier to actually verify the Ksav Yad. So that was the Takana. Okay. Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Uvisimana lo. So now the Gemara asks, wait, you're telling me that Edim who sign need to write their whole names? It's not enough just to write a simon? Like, you know, my sign is a Jewish star or something. Everybody knows that's, you know, Yosef Weinberger's signature. Because what you're saying here is that, no, you need the full name in order for the Tikkun Olam. Vaha, Rav, Sier Kura. Oh gosh, I'm gonna forget all these things. But like, I don't know, like a dove or something. Rav would put in, say right here, Kavara, Dak, a fish. Rav would his signature would be just a symbol of a fish. Rabbi Chanina, Sayer Harusa, he would put in a palm branch. Rav Chizda Samech would just write a Samech, I guess Rav Chizda. Rav Hoshia Ayin, maybe again for the Ayin in his name. Rav Barhuna, Sayer Mahusa, he would put in a sail, a machusa. So how could you say that you need to write your name? Because it's Tikkun Olam. All these Rabbanim, you know, it's like their signature would famously put in their different simanim, just signs. Shiny Rabbanan to Bikin Simunai who may Bikin and Simunai. Oh, the rabbis are different because these are obviously different because everybody knew their say, oh, everybody knows that he's a fish. So it's good as, you know, you could easily go and find another fish or just it's known. Yeah, you could find another fish to see if these fishes match and know if it was really his signature or if it was a forgery. Because these are famous. It's as if they wrote their names, because everybody knows the Jewish star is this rabbi, the fish is that rabbi. At the beginning, before he was famous, how'd they ever start doing these simanim? Because how would they ever be verified at the beginning before it became famous that this was their simanim? Bidiski is like for all their shilos and chuvos. So it wasn't really like they needed to verify these in court. They, you know, I was doing like, how does someone do their first surgery? How does someone do their first risk? So they ask an explanation how they got to this point of being famous. So the answer is for the shilos and chuvos, they would sign, you know, Moshe Feinstein, little fish. So everybody knew that Rav Moshe Feinstein's signature was a fish. And then when it was necessary to be used on court documents that are going to be verified, everybody already knew their simana. Okay. Should we go weiter? Okay.
It's almost not that different than a signature. It's like a scribble, you know, like.
Correct. So yeah, it's a pretty simple answer. Me, the idea is it has to be verifiable, like unique to you. So yeah. So in as much as that's like your name, and they could then, again, they always need to compare it to another Ksav Yad, because then this person could just fake my fish. But as long as we know, okay, we're looking for another fish. That's why we're then it was easy to find in court. Okay. So, all right. So now we're up to Prisbo. Hillel, should have had Rabbi Shryker, I'm going to do this. She is. Hillel, his skin, prisbal. So Hillel enacted the idea of a prisbal. All right. So what is a prisbal? Tanan hasam prisbal ain a mishame. So it's, the Mishnah says that if one has a prisbal document, so ain a mishame. The Shemitah loan is not canceled out. Because generally, we know in the seventh year, the Torah says, lo yigos esreu shamot kobal, that every single loan is going to be nullified. So by the end of the Shemitah year, and that I think is going to explain over here. Yeah, I think it's going to explain over here. So Zeh Achad Min Hadvarim Shehiskin Hillel Hazakin. So this is one of the takanas that he'll omit. Shira esa am shenimnu me'el halvose ezeh, that he saw people stop lending, because if it was in the seventh year and somebody asked me for money, I wasn't going to lend them, because very likely by the time I was going to be able to collect, the Shemitah would have ended, the loan would be canceled, and I wouldn't get my money back. And that not only happened in the seventh year, but perhaps even in the sixth year, maybe depending on how big the loan was in the fifth year and the fourth year, like people just stopped lending money. And that was the opposite of what the Torah's intention. But Avru, Amasha, Gazab, they actually violated the Torah, which says, He shamer lacha, penyi yedavar im lavavcha bilial. Leimor, actually, you know, the Shemot Shnas HaSheva, Shnas HaShemitah, Vira incha, right? Bachicha havion velo sitain la. So that beware, don't have a negative eye towards your, or heart towards your poor friend, and decide not to give them because Shemitah is coming up. That's what the Torah said, but that's what everybody was doing. They said, no, I'm not lending because I'm not going to get my money back. So it was a problem. Ahmad v'hiskin principle. So he created a principle. All right. The big hit, the question is, how does this work? Like, it seems like, oh, great idea. Yeah, just go against the Torah legally. But how do you do that to make a situation where even though the Torah says, after 7 years of I lend $5,000 to Reuven, he no longer has to pay me. Nope, now he does have to pay me back forever. How do you do such a thing? V'zehu gufo shel principle. This is what the principle says. Mostrani lachem ploni dayanim. I am handing over to you. I, Yosef Weimer, am handing over to you. So and so dayanim, shebamakom ploni, that are found in this case. You know, these dayanim in the basin of America in New York. Shekol chov sheishli eitzel ploni. Any chov I have against Reuven, he owes me $5,000. Sheagvenu kolzman she'er. So I can collect it whenever I want. Even though Shemitah really cancels it out, I can collect it. Again, wow, great idea. That's great. That works. How does that work? The hadayanim chos min lamata, the dayanim will sign at the bottom, oha edim, or the witnesses. There are actually two types of principle. That's okay. So that's what it says in the text of the principle. So now the Gemara asks a question: Umi ikamidi di mida oraisa mishamta shvius? It could it be that mida oraisa shmita is really canceling out this loan, that this guy does not, he owes me $0 now. The hiskin hilal de lo mishamta, and the way it's putting it is intense. And Hillel can be misaki that it is not Mishami. Like, what's going on here? Is he preventing the loan from being canceled? That the Torah says a loan is wiped out. Hillel puts an enactment in that stops what should happen on a Doraisa level from happening, and now I owe the money. Or is it like, no, the Torah cancels it out, because that's what the Torah says. I don't owe the money anymore, or he doesn't owe the money anymore. But Hillel has a koach to create a chov. Yeah, guess what? Now you owe Weimer your 5,000 midrabanan, but nonetheless you owe the money. So what's going on here? How does he have this power? Amar Abaye, b'shvius b'zman hazeh. So Abaye says, we're talking about Shemitah nowadays, which is only dirabanan, because since the Torah connects Shemitah to Yovel, and Yovel b'zman hazeh doesn't really, first of all, we don't really have the count, but it doesn't exist because I think Yovel is Talay on Rov B'nei Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael, which I don't know, maybe we're at or we're at soon. But Yovel B'zman says only Dirabanan. So Shemitah is connected to Yovel. So then Shemitah is only Dirabanan. So Abaye says, since nowadays Shemitah, the whole idea of all Shemitah, the fact that we rest our land and the loans are canceled out, all that only exists in a Dirabanan level. It's not true in a Doraisa level. So that's how Hillel was able to be misakin this, because he's only going up against the Rabbanan. He's one of the Rabbanan. Rebihi, and this is according to Rebbe, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, v'zeh davar, here's a drasha, v'zeh davar shmitah, shamot, b'shtei shmitos akas medaber, v'zeh davar shmita shamot, kobal mashe ado. So it says shmita shamot, two shmitas are connected, achas shmitas karka, v'achas shmitas ksafim. That the shmitas ksafim is only going to be in effect when the Shemitah's Karka is in effect, Midoraisa. So when we have to rest our land, Midoraisa, that's when the loans are nullified, Midoraisa. But Bizman Azeh, Sha'ata Mishami Karka, sorry, Bizman Sha'ata Mishami Karka, Ata Mishami Ksafim. When you have to rest your land, then you also have to, the loans are also wiped out. Bizman Sha'iata Mishami Karka, Iata Mishami Ksafim. When you don't rest your land, so the loans are not going to be wiped out. And nowadays, on a Oraisa level, we actually don't have to rest our lands. That's why the whole concept is only Derabbanan. That's why Hillel has a cough to do what he did. So that's answer number one. Answer number one is it only works for Hillel to do this because it's Derabbanan. Had Hillel been living in the times of Shemitah Doraisa, then tough luck. People would stop lending money and there would be no way to get around it. V'takinu Rabbanan Detisha. So we continue with the answer. The rabbi, so if Shemitah Bizman Hazeh does not exist, really on a Torah level, in the seventh year in Eretz Yisrael, farmers would not have to make themselves crazy. I shouldn't say crazy. It's a mitzvah. It's a beautiful thing, but it's a challenge. So they wouldn't have to be up to this challenge. So why do we have Shemitah at all? It's Akin Rabbanan to Tishame Zecher L'Shvias. Rabbanan wanted to enact it Zecher L'Shvias, as Rashi says at the top line, Shalo Tishkach Torah Shvias. So we shouldn't forget the Torah of the Shvias, and that was Rabbi Bergman. He came to speak in Bnei Shur, and I also heard him speak in the Five Towns. You know, his big mission is that we are being Tishkach Torah Shvias by all these different kulas and Otzer Bezin and Hetzer Mechira. It's basically like we've created a society where... Sorry. So without Otzer, so then it's like a society where Shemitah doesn't exist, and we have been Tishkach Torah Shvias, so he's trying to bring it back, make Shemitah great. So, fine. So the whole thing is only to Rabbanan. Ra'a Hillel Shenimnu Ha'am Milahalvos. So Hillel saw that people stopped lending. Ze'ezeh Amad Vehiskin Prisbal. So he made a Prisbal. Umi Ikamidi. So we'll do like one more little quick section here. 2 minutes. Umi Ikamidi. Timidi Oraisa. Lo Misham Tashvies. Takin Rabbanan Tashvies. And that's the opposite question. Okay. So do you think... First, we were saying, could it be that Mida O'Reis, the Torah saying this loan is nullified, comes in, the great Hillel, as amazing as he is, but he's going to undo what the Torah says? So the answer is no, because according to the Torah, Bizman Hazeh, there is no cancellation of the loan. The loan is actually fully on, since the Karka, there's no Shemitah on the Karka Mida O'Reisa, so there's no Shemitah on the Ksaf of Mida O'Reisa, so Reuven owes me $5,000. The only thing is, the Rabbanan came and said, oh, Mida Rabbanan, you know, we don't want to forget about Shemitah, so let's enact Shemitah anymore. Whoa. So you mean to tell me that Mida O'Reisa, all $100,000 loans that I have outstanding are owed to me, and the rabbis have the koach to come and reenact Shemitah Mida Rabbanan, Zeich L'Shvias, and nullify all my loans? That's what I'm saying. My loans are not nullified on the Torah level. I'm owed this money, V'takin Rabbanan to Tishame, and the rabbis have the koach. I'm asking, like, why they would do that to harm me. We're saying, we get why they're doing it, but they have the koach to take this $100,000 away from me. Amar Abaye, Sheva Tasehu. Yes, the truth is, he's actually asking, sorry, on the Shemitah itself, the Shemitah's Karka. Abaye says, yes, the rabbis have the koach to do this. No, it's at the end of the Shemitah's Ksafim, because it's Sheva Tasehu. They're saying that you don't have to pay back. Like, they have the koach to go against the Torah. The Sheva Al Tasa, not but Kumba Asay to go against the Torah. They can say, don't blow a shofar today. Don't take the lulav today. Don't pay back your loans. Like, whatever would normally be a mitzvah to do to pay back my loans, to blow a shofar, even, and the Torah says, you have to pay back your loans. You have to blow the shofar. You have to take your lulav. They have the koach to tell me not to do something B'Sheva Al Tasa. So, yes, they do have the koach to undo my loans, B'Sheva Al Tasa, passively, until Hillel came in later and then gave me a way to do my loans. That just quickly Rashi says, because I'm not going to the whole other point. Sheva al taseh, halo vehazeh, shev ubata. They can tell this lova, because there's a mitzvah to pay back your loans. They can tell this lender who owes me $5,000, sit. Don't do anything. Be batel. Just, you know, sit around, be idle. Ve'eno osa mitzvah for oskovo. You don't have to do your mitzvah of paying back your loan. The same way we don't have to do our mitzvah of blowing shofar or taking lulav. Ve'lo akar labi adayim. They're not actively uprooting something against the Torah. Go and eat treif, chas v'shalom. Just saying, don't do something. And in this case, they have the power to be ochre, something from the Torah. So that's answer number one, that the whole concept of principle only works b'zman hazeh, shemitah is the rabbanan, and the rabbis have the koach to enact, to nullify the shalom b'shei ba'al tasa, to say, you don't have to pay back. The next answer, which I guess we'll see on Thursday, is going to say that, no, even if you hold that shemitah is the oraisa, and really the loan has to be paid back on a d'oraisa level, Hillel, the rabbis, had the koach to come and say, no, we're being vatel this loan based in Hefker, in order to save society. Okay. Right. Oh, yeah. End it?
Just
stop recording?
Yeah.